Every superhero has a secret to their great strength and a hidden something that some people might call a vulnerability. For the Green Lantern, it was the special ring he wore that gave him the ability to form things out of nothing. For Superman, kryptonite was the only thing that stopped his superhuman strength. These stories, of course, are mere echoes of the greatest superhero story ever, one that is totally true. Our super action hero, Jesus Christ. Today, as we continue our series in Mark, Jesus, the ultimate action hero, I'd like for us to look at the hero's secret strength. You see, there was a secret to Jesus' ability to do anything he wanted, and also a hidden secret that moved Jesus to do things that later hindered him. In the previous verses, we have seen Jesus reach out and heal all the sick and demon-possessed that came to him at Peter's house in Capernaum. It was a wonderful day of seeing the kingdom of God reach out and take hold of the victims of the kingdom of Satan and to free them of sickness and possession by evil forces who are bent only on violence and destruction. Day, it stretched into night, and still they came until the group finally lay down to try to get some sleep. I'm sure full of these wonderful scenes of healings that they had witnessed. But now watch very carefully what Jesus does. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Very early in the morning. It means the third watch of the night, or somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. It was still dark. And it doesn't say it, but I'd assume that since the healings of last night didn't even start until after the sun had set, that the event probably went well into the early morning. Perhaps somewhere around 3 a.m., everyone else went to bed, exhausted. But Jesus, he headed out the door without anyone even knowing it. It wasn't that he was unhappy with the accommodations and he wanted to check into the Marriott Capernaum or something. No, he knew of something even more important than sleep, and that was communing with his Father. Now, we don't know what Jesus prayed, but Mark is pretty specific about Jesus' actions. He got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place. You see, Jesus, he removed himself from other distractions and other relationships so that he could concentrate on his relationship with his Heavenly Father. I think that it is fair to assume that Jesus prayed for direction and guidance. And as we'll see in a moment, the demands of urgent ministry were about to be pitted against the strategic plan of his life. Mark records Jesus praying at three different occasions. Here in our scripture this morning, in chapter 6, after feeding 5,000 people, and before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the first two instances, huge success in public ministry had just been accomplished. Both here in our scripture this morning and in chapter 6, Jesus prays and then he sends himself and his disciples in a different direction, removing himself and them from a follow-up to the success. Now this kind of thing, it runs counter to every success guru out there. It may have been a constant temptation to Jesus to take a shortcut and to fashion a popular movement around what he was doing. But see, Jesus was not about popularity or doing what others demanded of him. He was about one thing. And that one thing was fulfilling the Father's mission of his dying on a cross for you and for me. So the first lesson from this section is simple and yet vital. Get up. Get out. And get praying. For strategic direction, in your life from your father, and especially when you have had success being used by God. See, the dangers we face in ministry come not primarily from our failures. But you see, if you're seeking to do God's will and following after Him, it never really is a failure, even if it doesn't go the way that you think it should or you wanted it to. Our primary dangers are in the apparent successes. Do you take time before time takes you to seek the heart of God, to reset the GPS for the next strategic move? Then our scripture continues at verse 36, and it says, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now it seems plausible that word of these healings had spread even farther than they had before, and that the demands of the evening before, they were now turning into opportunities of the present. Even more people are beginning to show up. But you see, the presence of an open door doesn't always mean that you have permission to enter. The disciples, they're all new at this stuff. And they seem a little bit miffed that Jesus would step away from them and be somewhere that they didn't know. But you see, it was the beginning, really, of Jesus acting in ways that are counter to what they expected of him. Because he had come to be a rescuer in a way that they simply could not comprehend and could not understand. "Everyone is looking for you," they exclaimed, basically meaning, "Why did you run off when there's still work to do?" In response, Jesus does just the opposite, and he says, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages." In fact, the phrase, "let us go somewhere else," it could suggest that Jesus had already left and was perhaps just waiting for his disciples to find him and to catch up with him. Now, returning to bask in the accolades of these healings would seem like the logical thing to do, but not necessarily the right thing to do. That's something that we must often struggle with as well. See, the question that we must ask ourselves and ask God in prayer is, what will bring you glory from my life today and into the future? In this case, the thing that brought the Father glory was to have the Son continue to preach the gospel of the good news, because short-term healing without salvation is meaningless. Really, short-term healing, short-term anything without salvation is meaningless. Although we cannot use that as an excuse to refuse aid or help to those who are hurting, at some point we must always keep the gospel in mind and get back to the gospel. So before things got way too far out of hand, before the people started fixating in on these short-term solutions to life, Jesus refocuses his core ministry. And he heads out to preach the kingdom of God in this 60 by 30 mile section of Israel known as Galilee, with over 250 towns to preach in. Notice, though, that our super action hero, he fights and he wins against the enemy wherever he goes. And then just one event threatens Jesus' plan of action. In verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now the King James and the NIV here identifies the man as a leper. And the word means scaly. and it was used for a whole host of incurable serious skin diseases. Now, some were highly contagious and others were benign, and they just looked really bad and scaly. But under the law, anyone who had such a disease was a social and a religious outcast. The fact that this man even approaches Jesus shows his courage and his humility. Now, back in that day, many people were afraid of catching leprosy, and so they would even throw rocks at the lepers to keep them at a distance. The lepers, they lived outside of the towns in colonies until they were healed or until they died. Now, leprosy is often used as a metaphor for sin, an incurable disease that separates us from fellowship and relationship with God. Like this leper, when we come to Jesus on our knees and ask for healing, we find it. Notice how the leper says, "If you are willing." Surely this man had heard of Jesus' miraculous power to heal. And he could have said, "It's only fair that since you have healed those other peoples, you should heal me as well." But healing from sin is not a demand that we make for fairness. It is a request we make from a humble position on our knees, knowing that we are doomed, and also knowing that Jesus is the only hope and the only chance that we have. Now, Mark records something very crucial about Jesus' character here in our scripture, and that is his compassion. The Greek word that in there where it says Jesus was indignant, some versions put down compassion, and that's what it was. And it means to be moved to one's bowels. The bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity. And Jesus, he looked on this man, and he knew the suffering that this disease had wrought on his life. And his immediate response was, "I am willing." Do you know that Jesus has that exact same compassion when it comes to your suffering and your struggles? And as we'll see, Jesus' compassion is what drove him to heal anyone who asked. But it would also hinder him at times from fulfilling what the Father had sent him to do, and that was to preach the gospel. Now, it is not a mistake. It's not an error at all. You see, God is moved with compassion, and he will stop whatever he is doing to respond to a humble prayer, even if it meant putting something else off for a while. What a loving God we have. Notice, too, that Jesus reached out his hand to the leper to touch him. Now, normally that would have made Jesus unclean. Jesus is willing to reach into our uncleanness, into our messiness. But instead of us making Jesus unclean, he makes us clean. And next, Jesus, he has a stern warning for this man, which will seem to be ignored. In verse 43, it says, "Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Now, Jesus often did this. He performed a miracle, and then he told the person or the people to be quiet about it. Yeah, I'm sure. The greatest thing to ever happen to this man, and he's going to be able to keep silent about it. Jesus, he tells the man to go to the priests. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. One was perhaps to put the religious leaders on notice that someone was among them that could command cleansing where none was ever expected or even anticipated. The other is the wonderful ceremony that was to be performed in the case of a cleansing from leprosy. And that ceremony, it's found in Leviticus chapter 14. And after the priest goes out and examines the leper to make sure that they are clean, And Leviticus chapter 14, verse 3 says the priest is to go outside the camp and examine them. If they have been healed of their defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. After that, he is to release the live bird into the open field. Now, the symbolisms in this ceremony are very immense. The two birds, they represent Jesus and us. And the bird that was killed is, of course, the Lord Jesus himself, who takes away our uncleanness by becoming sin or uncleanness for us. We are dipped in his blood. And then this is the wonderful part. That we are let loose in an open field. No more sin. No more uncleanness. No more captivity. We are free. Well, there was no evidence that the man did this. But what he does do is really only the natural thing. He shares the good news with everyone. In verse 45, our last verse for this morning, says, instead he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Now this man, this former leper, he was quite the evangelist. He spread the news about his healing from an incurable disease so effectively that Jesus could no longer go into the villages or the towns. Otherwise, a riot might break out. The crowd would form so large it couldn't be controlled. But instead, Jesus stayed in the open country, and he let the people come out to him. Now, the conclusion as we wrap this up is really quite simple. Stay in communication with God for your small part today in his great plan for eternity, not letting your surroundings move you away from that direction. But also be aware of those around you and let God move you with compassion to be his hands, to be his feet, even if that seems to deter you from today's path. So keep following God, keep searching after God, communicating with God for direction, and be willing to be sidetracked for a while to have compassion and to help people when it is possible.